right? And this would be, I would call step one, because this is your beginning point. All this would be your beginning point. I got to get born again. I got to let the Holy Spirit deal with me. I got to let him train me. I got to figure out what it is that I need to be doing and get in it and start doing it. So all this would be your step, your starting point. Amen? And everybody, that's why I like God, because everybody starts here. It ain't like somebody get to come in three legs before you. No. Everybody starts at the same chalk line on the road. All right? Now, step two. After I find out, after I get born again and find out I got a destiny, now it's something I got to do. It's something that I got to do. See, because that's the problem. Most folks say get saved, give their life to Christ, and then sit down. Well, it wasn't designed that way. I guarantee you, you get born again and sit down, the devil going to get you. It's just a matter of time. Prove it to you. You can take a river and you can take a pond. If they don't put some type of irrigation in the pond, it's going to eventually get stagnant and stink, and it's going to have all kind of bacteria and germs and everything in it. But like a river, it just flows. It continues to clean itself as it moves. And the Bible says that we're supposed to be like a river. The Bible says that rivers of living water are continuing to come out of you. And it's, as it comes out, it's cleansing as it goes. But you sit down and come stagnated, and after a while, you'll stink from sin. Because I tell you all the time, now I keep saying it, if you don't learn something different, you'll resort back to your old way of living. Say, as a born-again believer, get saved and sit down, and then check your attitude when you got saved. I guarantee you, the right person stepped to you, you'll punch their lights out, knock them smooth out. Let enough pressure hit you, you didn't deal with that alcohol, you'll grab a bottle. Let something happen, and you ain't dealt with drug addiction, I guarantee you'll find a needle or a pipe, some weed, something. Why? Because you sat down. But if you get born again and get over to the area where you need to be and start presenting your body to God, start moving, I promise you, as you go, just like as the river flows, you will be cleansed as you go. That was the whole purpose of why Jesus told those lepers, those 10 lepers, that said, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Jesus said, he could have just said, "Be healed," and everything would happen right then. But he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." He ain't laid no hands. He ain't did nothing. He just said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And the Bible said, as they started going, they were being healed. So as you go, show yourself to the priest, not me, the high priest, you are healed of all whatever ailed you before you got saved. Amen. So now, point two would be, after I get born again, I got to start seeking God. I got to get on God's tracks. Amen? Seeking God. Point two. Go back to Jeremiah 29. Let's start with verse 11 again. This time I want to add verses 12 and 13 to it. Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." So not only does he know the purpose and the plans for it, but you got to get in position to start seeking God. The Amplified Bible says in verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and I will come." I mean, "Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you." I hear your prayer and I'll be right there with your answer. "Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now notice, then will you call upon me. You have to acknowledge him first. Because no one calls on anyone if they don't consider them important. I cannot call upon you if I have not acknowledged in my life that I need your help. It's just that simple. Why do people pick up the phone, dial 911? They're acknowledging, I need help. Send me help. But if you don't need 911 and you get a paper cut, you don't call the 911, the paramedics, the fire department, you know, rescue, a few people show up at your house, not for a paper cut. You know, I don't need any help for that. But get out there with a chainsaw and saw off your arm. I guarantee you, you'll call 911. You will acknowledge, I need some help. It's the exact same way with God. Most of us look at our life, and because we're spiritually blinded, we don't chop off our arm, and we think it's a paper cut. And you're walking around bleeding to death, don't realize that as you bleed, the little demonic vultures are just on and on away. You say, well, how is that happening? When somebody hurts you and you're so bitter and so enraged that you're just evil. Your bitterness don't, your unforgiveness don't turn to bitterness. Your bitterness don't turn to hatred. And now you got cancer and you're dying. And don't even know where it came from. Because you thought your arm, the problem, was the paper cut. You thought your life, even though it was completely jacked up to the point of death, you looked at it as a paper cut. You have to first acknowledge that I need some help. So that means you got to come to the position in your life saying, I can't do this thing my doggone self. That's after you get saved. Because you got some folks think I don't got saved. And they know everything day one. And you do. Spiritually, you do. But you got to get what's in your spirit into your soulish man. And that takes some time. I'm not saying you don't know nothing. I'm saying it's in there. But you got to get it from, just like you got to go kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, so forth, high school. And then sometimes that ain't enough. 2, 3, 4, 8 years of college. Now, if you take all of that to get world's wisdom, well, what you think you're going to do over here on God's side? Now, God is much faster than that, but I guarantee you it's still going to take you some time. And the time that it takes is dependent upon how much you're willing to yield. Because God got eternity to teach you. Yeah. See, God ain't getting old. You are. And if he got to wait for 25 years, because I tell you all the time, you can listen to me now when I'm preaching and teaching. Or you can do your own thing and come back 10 years from now and hear it again. Because one way or the other, you're going to do it his way. Trust me. Been saved for 12 years. I don't try just about almost all of it. And one thing, ain't nothing else work but this. You can take this and mix it with stuff, it don't work. You can try to do it without this, it don't work. You can try to do it the old way. You might get some results, but I guarantee it's going to come with hardship and pain. Only the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. That's what the Bible says. Amen. All right. So I have to call. It says, then you will call upon me. You will acknowledge me. The next thing says, and you will come to me. You would come and pray to me. After you acknowledge you need some help, then you got to come pray. You got to talk to him. Father, I need your help. I need your help. And now I start reciting his word back to Father, seeing your word where it says that you know these plans, these thoughts for me. Can you restore my soul? That's praying. You're praying now. See, we got to get out this religious, traditional stuff. You got to get down there, Father, I know that thou is all worthy in thee and thus, and you know I would pay a lot of crazy stuff. No. We get on our knees at night thinking, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We think we don't did something. You ain't did nothing. I'm telling you, you ain't did nothing. You need to stop telling your kids to pray. Now you lay me down to sleep. I pray that's all my soul. No. That's not a good prayer. That's not a faith-based prayer. You start teaching your children to pray by faith. Father, I thank you for this day, and I'm going to sleep, and I'll see you in the morning. That's a faith-based prayer. Now you lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray, Lord, my soul to take. Ain't nothing if I should die. The Bible says, with long life will he satisfy us. The Bible says, I should live and not die. I was driving down the street the other day, and we was talking about, the devil was talking about something. And about, what if you die? I said, devil, I ain't going nowhere. That's my, just, I got something to say about that. Because the Bible says with long life will he satisfy me. I ain't satisfied yet. So I'll be right here. You don't like it? Too bad. The Bible says that my brother, Jesus Christ, became just like me, my brother. And he came and he died to the punishment up on his life. That through by him doing that, that he might destroy the one that had the power of death over me. And that it says that he was the devil. Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 10. Is what it says. So the devil don't have no power of death over me. You can't touch me, man. Be quiet. Leave him gone somewhere. Talk to somebody I don't know. Because I'm not receiving that. All right? All right. Praise God. All right. So I got to pray. And then it says, and then after I pray, hear what I'm saying. Because the Bible says that the eye of the Lord is upon his righteous, and that his ear is always attentive unto their prayers. Are you the righteous of God? If you're a born-again believer, I'm trying to tell you, you are. Believe it by faith, and then God will hear your prayers. All right? Okay. And then after that, it says that after you acknowledge I need his help, I go to him and pray. Verse 13 says, then will you seek and inquire and require me as a vital necessity. Is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit, is the Word of God a vital necessity in your life? Now, let's take the test. How much dust did you wipe off your Bible this morning? Think about it. Don't raise your hand. Just think about it. How many hours did you talk up in prayer last week? Let's think about it. How many negative confessions did you make over positive confessions? Just think about it. Is he a vital necessity? Now, here's a good one. He says no. Did you stop? Did you acknowledge him saying no and repent? Or did you keep going? Is he a vital necessity in your life? Is your flesh in control or is your spirit in control? We're taking the test. Is he a vital necessity in your life? Because the way you find out if he's a vital necessity in your life is you obey. When he says wrong, you say, bless God, it's wrong. Won't do it no more. You do your best not to do it no more. You adjust in that area. The word of God takes first place. You say, thus it is written, so be it. Amen. That's how you decide if he's a vital necessity in your life. It ain't hard. It ain't hard to figure out. Right away, if I don't win a week and I ain't did the praying and fasting or whatever like he told me to, I already know. I might play like I don't know, but I know. Because the Holy Spirit don't tap me on my shoulder and say, you ain't prayed today. You know, you ain't spoke to me in a while. Now, how the heck you think you're going to reach destiny? You won't even come talk to me. And I'm the only one who know how to get you there. See? Is he a vital necessity? All right, I got to go. So, and then after you pray, he says, I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will release you from your captivity. Now, after you get through doing all of that, you have to hearken unto him. You have to do what he tell you to do. Now, let's take a few minutes here, and I'm gonna have to stop here today. Let's look at some of these. Let's look first of all at acknowledging him. Because you have to acknowledge that you need God's help. Proverbs, the third chapter, and I want to speed up here because I want to get through these right quick. So I'm going to hit these real fast, make my point, and move on. Proverbs, the third chapter, verse number 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct your paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrows and to thy bones. Now, when you trust, it says to trust in the Lord. He's a vital necessity. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own understanding, because I'm telling you, the way that seems right to man, but the Bible says the way thereof is destruction. It may look good now, but the end of that path is destruction. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in your ways. And he'll direct your path. But I like what verse number 8 says. Let me read from the Amplified Bible. It says, it shall be health. When you do what God say do and trust in him and follow him, let me show you the results. It shall be health to your nerves and swine and marrow and moistening to your bones. What happens when your bones, moistening to your bones means youth, rejuvenation. Because when you get older, your bones get brittle and hard, right? A baby's bones is more moist and flexible. So it says it will be moisture to your bones. What it means is going to be, I'm adding some years to you here. See, just like Abraham and Sarah thought that they was too old to do a baby. God said, you ain't too old. I'm God. Is there anything too hard for El Shaddai? No. I don't care how you can be through. You can be 3,000 years old. If I say you have a baby, bless God, one's coming out. That's what he said. It said Abraham and Sarah were well past birthing years. But he put some moistening in there, didn't he? Because she had a baby. Bless God. You do, you can too. All right. So you, to acknowledge him, you have to trust him and ask him for help. Let him direct your path. Don't trust your own judgments, your own self. All right. Now, let's look at praying. Got to pray. Got to pray. That was the second thing I said. First, you acknowledge him. Then you go to him in prayer. Jeremiah 6 chapter. Verse number 16 says, thus said the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Notice that word paths. Where is the good old way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in them. There were some fools there. The Amplified Bible says, thus said the Lord, stand by the road and look, and ask for the eternal paths, where the good old way is. Then walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. You gotta acknowledge I need his help. Then you get in the prayer and you start praying, show me the eternal path. What is the eternal path? I guarantee it's faith. The just shall live by faith. And everybody from Adam to the book of Revelations did it by faith. You don't believe me? Check out the book of Hebrews, where it got the book, where it got the Hall of Fame in there. Every one of those men at them different dispensations of time throughout the course of the history of the Bible, it says by faith they did this, by faith they did this, by faith they did this, by faith they did this. And so you won't do it unless you do it by faith either. So if you ask, now notice, that is the eternal path. But there's another eternal path too. And it's wide. And the Bible said it leads to destruction. Many on that one, they've been sending them down there for years. And you got good people in hell right now. Because it had nothing to do with how good you are. Hell is full of good people who didn't drink, who didn't cuss, who did good deeds, who did all the wonderful things. The determining factor is not whether you was a good person or not. The determining factor would be, did you accept the sacrifice I made? Now, after you accept the sacrifice, now we can talk about your goodness. But before that, the Bible says self-works, self-righteousness, and it's like a filthy rag to him. He don't want to hear that. He sent Jesus. You can't help yourself. I don't care how good you are. Accept the sacrifice, we can talk. You don't want to accept the sacrifice, what you're telling me, you can be your own God. That's what, when you don't want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and say what you're actually saying to God is, I'm big and bad enough to do my own thing. I'm my own God. Don't need you. Thank you. That's what you're saying. So you got to get in the way. Get in the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. It says, get in the way. Ask him where it is, get in it, and walk in it. So that I'm telling you, the way is Jesus. And it says, you shall find rest for your soul. And go over to the Gospel of Matthew. I think it's the 11th chapter. I think it is. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to give it to you. 11:29. And it says that Jesus says, if you come unto me, I'll give you rest. And then it says, take my yoke upon you and learn, and you shall find some rest. So you need to learn about what you got so you can walk in rest. There's a rest that he gave. When you got born again, he gave you rest from having to worry about the devil. He defeated all your enemies and declared you victorious. He gave you that rest. You didn't earn it. But now there's a rest that you have to learn about. So you enter into rest, but to get the benefits of that rest, you got to start learning. And that is a faith walk. You have to learn what the Word of God says. Amen? All right. You're acknowledging, then you pray. Then after you pray, you hearken unto what was said. Let's look at James, the first chapter. I'm trying to get through at this point, but I don't think I'm going to make it. James, chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Amplified Bible says, but be doers of the word. Obey the message. Obey the message. Don't just hear it. Yeah, it was a good sermon today. Didn't he preach? Ooh, that was deep. Ooh, deep. Awesome. And then don't even do it. The Bible says that you do what? You deceive yourself. The Amplified Bible says you betray yourself into a deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, and he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he looks like. So that's like you stand up in the mirror, put your makeup on, everything. You know how you look. And as soon as you step away, you don't forget. That's when you get the word. The Bible says the word is the perfect law of liberty. It's like a mirror. When you open it up, that's why I ain't got to say, I ain't got to come tell you when you in sin. Open up the Bible. You be like, ooh, I got to close this thing back up because I'm not looking too good. You will see it yourself. See, most folks in traditional churches try to measure themselves up against the leadership. Let me see how good I am compared to what the pastor look like. You know, let me see how good I am compared to the evangelist and the prophet and the pastor and the teacher. But that's where you make your mistake. Because the leadership is not your measuring stick. Jesus Christ is. So you measure yourself according to this. And if this says you ain't looking too good, you're not looking too good. You need to repent. If this says you foul, you foul. You need to repent. See, I might not ever see your sin. No, because we put on a good act. Especially as black folks. You know, we know how to act. Oh, we can do it. You know, the best Academy Award winners aren't even on Hollywood. They in most churches today. And they wear big hats. But, you know, and they know how to act. Real good. So you might fool me, but when you open this book up and you start reading, you're like, oh my goodness, thou shalt not commit adultery, ooh, thou shalt not steal, my goodness, thou shalt not commit murder. Well, I ain't killed nobody today, but you go a few more chapters and says that he that speaks ill against his brother committeth murder. Oh my God, ain't nobody got to come talk to you, read the book. You'll see yourself. Because it'll be a many a day, you know, before I really figured out what I was doing. Back when I first got saved, you know, I'd be in the workplace just kicking it, you know. And we might tell a little, you know, a little under the sheet joke or two, you know. But that's cool. The one that I was reading the Bible and said, don't let no coarse joking. And I ran a reference on coarse joking. It's talking about don't let no sexual joke come out your mouth. I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, it's in there. If you want to know. All right. So, got a little quiet, but that's okay. You got to hearken. You got to become a doer of what you hear. And if you don't want to do what you hear, then the Bible says you are deceived. And deceived people end up in H-E, double hockey sticks, wondering, asking for some water. That's where they end up. Deceive people. Because if you deceive, then who? God's not the deceiver. Who's the deceiver? The devil. And if you deceive, that means your eyes is blinded. You don't see where you're going. You're just walking. And he lead you right on down the pit. You know? And you ain't paid attention. Because the Bible said the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. But if you deceive, you're being lead and guided into all lies. Remember, the law of reciprocal? Flip the thing. If the Holy Spirit takes you in the truth, well, where'd the devil take you? To the lie. If walking in the truth ends you up in glory, where does walking in the lie ends you up in? Just death and destruction. It's just that simple. See, we've made Christianity hard. It's not hard at all. Even if I didn't have a whole Bible, because you got, even if all I had was just 2 or 3 pages of the Bible, it still would be no excuse. If I just tore out 3 pages and in this country all of a sudden started burning Bibles, and before they could burn mine, I got 3 pages. You know, I might not know everything the Bible say. I still ain't got no excuse. Why? The Holy Spirit is the Word. He know what it says. And he'll come tap you on your shoulder and still be telling you, thus it is written. Well, where is it written at? It's written in heaven. They might have burnt the Bibles up down here, but there's still going to be one open. The Bible said 2 books at last, they're going to be open. One is the book of life. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name's not in that book. Case closed. Discussion over. Goodbye. We ain't got to talk no more. But if you just happen to have your name written in the book of life, you accepted Jesus Christ, then the Bible said the second book's going to be on. What is it? It's this. It's written in heaven. Thus it is written. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this book, it'll be right here. And then the Bible says, then you'll give an account for everything that you did in your body. Now, based upon whether you repented or not, oh no, that's between you and God. You say, well, how are you going to know all that? I'm going to close with this. How does he know? I think I'm going to close with this. But how does he know? Just being honest. How does he know what I did all them years upon earth? I tell us all, we say it all the time. Your body slows you down. In the spirit realm, let's do it again today. Close your eyes. Think of a place you've been. It's out this city. Just that fast, you went there and back. That's how fast the spirit is. It's the realm of the spirit is. So when you step up to the front of the throne, it ain't gonna, you know, folks ain't gonna play the video. Ain't gonna be no video. Right away, zip, you'll know it, and he'll know it. Right away. It ain't gonna take no all day. Zip, there it is. And then you'll stand up there and start to, no. Well, I couldn't stop. You know what his remedy gonna be for that? Because the Bible said that we're gonna judge, we gonna judge with him. How do we judge with him? He'll be sitting on his throne. We sitting on our thrones, because the Bible says we'll be sitting on our thrones too. And then when you say, I couldn't quit doing this, he going to say, oh, yeah. He going to turn over back. He's going to look at all them folks back there. Let's say for somebody said, I couldn't quit. Let's give me one, Holy Spirit. If somebody said, I couldn't quit. I couldn't quit fornicating. Okay, listen. I couldn't quit fornicating. So what he going to do is he's going to turn around and he's going to say, how many people back there took my word, quit fornicating? And then he's going to turn back around and ask you, what was your problem? If it worked for them, won't it work for you? It worked for me. Do you think that I was down here up on the earth walking around, because Jesus looked good. He had anointing up on him. You know he looked good. Walking around up on the earth, and didn't nobody try to flip their skirt at me? I almost guarantee you that prostitute at that well, when he went out there, because the Bible said, the woman says, you know, y'all don't have nothing to do with us kind. Right. You know, now she's a prostitute, she thinking about money. Right. Don't you think she ain't trying to, you know, throw a little hint, you know, whatever. Went out, but Jesus blew her mind. Sent her back up in town to all her little Johns and said, look here, come meet a man. See, y'all don't know nothing about being to come. Let me come show you a real man.
All right.
Why? Because he didn't want my body. He really loved me. Yeah. So how could she have known he didn't want my body unless he rejected it? Come on, now let's just sometimes just think. I don't think that Jesus was down here up on the scene. The Bible said he, like all wives, was tempted as we was yet without sin. So he'll stay up on his throne and he'll be like, it worked for me. It worked for all them folks over there. Now, what was your problem? Then you get to going, well, Lord, I prophesied. And, well, Lord, I saved some souls. He's going to be like, yeah, thank you. But depart from me. Your work was in iniquity. I never knew you. Escort him away. See, I mean, it get close. It get tight. God ain't playing. We think he playing, but he ain't playing. He's serious. Because if he did not do that for us, to us, then he going to have to go back to hell and let all them people, he going to have to go let that rich man did Lazarus wrong out. Everybody in hell that didn't repent, that did the same stuff that you did, he got to go get let them out. Why? Because he'd be an unjust God to make them stay in punishment forever and let you slide. No, you ain't sliding. If you're going to slide anywhere, you're going to slide. You're going to slide to the right side and get on the good foot, or you're going to slide right on hell. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, I can't make it any plainer. Amen? You know, now I will end with this. I was at work, and a lady made a comment, because another lady made a comment and said, well, I don't know where I'm going. And then a lady made a comment and said, you know, turned around to me and said, hey, preacher, where's she going? And I looked back up at the lady and I said, well, depending on how she's living, what you doing, but depending on what she's doing. But I kind of got a little nervous at that. I mean, I guess, responded a little nervous at that, like, that was kind of cruel to put it like that. But, I mean, it's the truth. And we as people have been pampered so long to we want to hear a pampered answer. But we live in a day and time where the Bible says that there's darkness upon the face of the earth and dark, gross darkness, the people. Either you're going to be a light or you're not. And the light don't stand there and say, well, darkness, do you mind me shining today? No, it say what it don't say, darkness, get back. So, I mean, let's be honest. We live in honesty time now, folks. We down to business here. We're in the day of the church of the living God. The Bible says, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then it says in the New Testament, awake, sleeping giant. Wake up, arise, and Christ will give you light. And it's time for us to wake up as the body of Christ and start representing God in the earth and quit walking around here letting the devil look like he got all the power and God's weak and pitiful. I don't know what God they serving, but my daddy ain't like that. My daddy's the one and the only one. So if he the one, then I'm the one too. He big G, I'm little G. When you see him, you see me. When you see me, you see him. Why? Because we the same. And Jesus didn't pull no punches with them back then. They came and asked Jesus a question. Jesus told them to answer. Well, what would you ask me for if you didn't want to hear? So many words, but he told some of them. You know, they come ask him some silly question, trying to trap him up. He hit him with something, and they get mad, won't throw him off a cliff. Crucifying. Well, what y'all ask for? Oh, well. Okay. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. And we pray, Father, and we declare, and we thank you for divine destiny. And Father, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to teach your word, and I'm going to say what you tell me to say. And I know you're going to do your part, and you're going to water and bring the seed to pass and make it grow. But Father, I declare that the hearers, include myself because I'm a hearer too, I declare we do our part, Father, and walk in what you tell us and hearken to your word. You know the thoughts. You know the very plans that you think towards us. You know the very life, the thing that you destined us to walk in. And I want to walk in it. And I declare that they want to walk in it too. So, Father, let us join up and hook up and join forces. And let's walk in our destinies. And let's change this earth for your glory. The Bible said, as you said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized is saved, and he that believes not and won't get baptized won't be. And Father, your word said, and these signs shall follow those that believe in your name. We'll cast out the devils. We'll lay hands on the sick. They'll get well, Father. We won't have to worry about any deadly thing harming us if we drink it. And we'll speak with new tongues. And Father, as we go, you'll work with us, confirming your word with the signs and the wonders. And bless God, we believe it and we receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, stand up on your feet. I want your guys to repeat after me. Father, this is the year that you've crowned with favor over Works of Faith Ministries. And we fully expect the fruits of favor to continue to manifest in this ministry and in the lives of your people. We declare your favor. It surrounds us. It encompasses us as a shield. It protects us. It increases us. We walk in it. We live in it. And we have our being in it. You are our favor. You are our mercy. You are our love. You are our Father. And we thank you. And we declare you Lord over our lives, every area of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right.